Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Will Mellor today,
yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah, it was good, wasn't he?
He joined us. He had a proper chat. It'll be United and more.
We forgot to ask him about Strictly, Paul. Next time.
Yeah, we played an old advert he was in, though. Yeah. Very much in the old... it's very much of the times, news-wise. Rick Whitter was here from Shed 7.
New album coming out.
Yeah, talked a bit of Manchester United. We had a guest that we really struggled to... I mean, we couldn't keep up. He was just chat. He was from Adidas. He told us about the new Euro 2024 ball.
Yes.
And we had a birthday spread.
It was magic.
Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's nice to have the ball in the studio.
It's the official Euro 2024 ball.
They always say it's a bit lighter, don't they? It's always a bit lighter.
Yeah.
It's meant to fly through the air quick. I'm going to throw it. You kept putting your hand
ready,
up.
Yeah. I'll
throw it in there. Safe hands.
It's going to have a chip in it as well because they're going to have the semi-automated offsides.
Oh, yeah.
So there will be. I don't think there's a chip in this.
How do they get the chip in, Paul? How do they put it in?
Well, we'll ask your man from Adidas a little bit later on. But it's a ball. It's a nice looking
ball.
They always sort of mess with it, and they go in depth on the design.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And okay.
Well, it's always nice, isn't it? It's always good fun.
130 quid
is it?
Set you back.
When you play with a proper match ball, though, if you're like me and we just played with rubbish footballs your whole life,
yeah.
When you suddenly kick a pro ball,
yeah,
it stays kicked. Yeah. It's like it's very, very good.
I was given a Pucker Premier League one, a launch or something years ago. So I just took it to five-a-side and just went in the mix for five-a-side. But you're right, you do notice a difference.
Oh, yeah, much different, much more difference. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very nice.
So, we'll have a chat about that later. As we said, we'll be chatting to Will Mellor. He's popping back to see us. And Roman Kemp's coming up as well. A few things to get you involved in.
Yeah.
You've probably seen today there's been a bit of talk about it. Shaban was talking about it on Early Breakfast. Anthony Gordon could qualify for Scotland if he wanted to. Anthony Gordon's pretty Scottish, isn't it, really?
Tony Gordon sounds a lot more Scottish.
Sounds like a choreographer. Suddenly I'm seeing him with a jumper draped tied round his shoulders. And a one, and a two. And Tino Livramento as well also qualifies, should he want to.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll talk to Ali Ross about this, who's a Tartan Army foot soldier, regular at the Games. How do you feel about those players that may be slightly less... I mean, when I think about, the England cricket team, for example, I watch Kevin Peterson carting it about. I'm not worried about the fact that he's fundamentally South African.
Well, I think Stokes is part New Zealand.
Well, he lived in
New Zealand in there,
he was there for a long time.
Quite a lot of South Africa.
Doesn't make him a Kiwi.
Oh, okay.
But,
we've got Jack Grealish. I mean, we've got Jack Grealish in our...
Yeah.
In our squad.
Declan Rice, that's true. Actually did turn out and made the change. But anyway, look, we'll get Ali's take on that a little bit later on. But who do you qualify for?
Mm.
I mean, I'm guessing you've got absolutely zero chance of representing your country in any sport. I could be wrong. Apologies if that's the case. But our producer's the best we got in the house.
He
can play for England,
yep.
Ireland,
yep.
Or New Zealand.
I mean, he could.
He could.
I don't think he's going to.
No, he's not going to, and I can't think of any sport in which he would.
Oh, he's... I don't know if he's taken up
bobsleigh. Crown. Says, just pulled that. Like he thinks that's an easy sport.
Oh, yeah, that's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, nice, yeah. Easy sport. Oh, no, yeah, just, you basically just run along, then you cling on. You just, that's it. That's all you have to do.
Come to it late. Don't worry about doing it when you're a kid, yeah, or in your teens or
if
anything.
If there's a sport out there that you thought, yeah, that's a piece of, I won't say it, that's easy. If there's a sport where you thought, oh, yeah, I don't get it. Why? That's not even a sport. It's just too easy. If you think you've spotted a sport that you think you could definitely do.
Well, it's Crown Green, isn't it? Crown Green's always the one. Crown Green or bowling itself, yeah, you know, yeah, the indoor bowling.
Yeah.
You know, people do sort of come to that a bit late. Am I right, wrong in thinking that?
No, but there's a real skill to it.
I know,
isn't
I'm not saying there's no skill to it. I'm just
I'm interested in the sport that you think you could compete in because it's just easy. Okay. And also, so who do you qualify for? Let us know. And you're kind of issuing a come and get me plea in sport. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, some countries are so short of players, you might end up getting a game.
Yeah. I talk about it in my show, Paul, which is I am 2% Norway.
Yeah. You did one of those tests?
A DNA test. 2% Norway, 3% Celtic. So sort of, you know, Scottish, Irish sort of something.
Yeah, yeah.
95% Devon.
Wow.
It's high, isn't it?
That is high.
It's too high, isn't it?
Yeah. I can see the pitfalls of it. And we won't dig too deep into why that's the case either.
Yeah.
Without going for any stereotypes.
I don't think I want to go back too many generations.
No, you're who do you think you are?
Yeah, quite a short program.
Imagine they said, Charlie, we've looked into it and we thought, no, I'm sorry. We can't possibly put that one out. So, anyway, who do you qualify for? Yeah. Do let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ 03717223344. You've probably seen the story today. British ultra marathon runner used a car during a race. Got a bit tired, apparently.
Mm. Yeah. So you would on an ultra marathon, wouldn't you?
Made a massive error accepting the trophy. Why do you say that now? I think the massive error was getting in a car.
Massive error was getting caught.
In terms of massive errors, one, getting in a car, two, accepting the trophy.
Getting caught was up there as well, you know.
Yeah, she finished third in the GB Ultras race, has been stripped of the bronze medal. I doubt she'll appeal. I doubt she'll appeal.
Have they got footage of her getting in? I'd like to see that footage.
It'd be great. They've just got a still of her, like, trying to hail a taxi.
Waving someone
around.
Down. On Uber.
She saw a friend on the side of the course and accepted a lift in his car.
Ugh.
She was planning to tell Marshall she was withdrawing from the event, but they urged her to keep going. and then got kind of, when people started saying well done, she got a bit wrapped up in the moment. Yeah, you know, these things happen. But maybe she'd got that off her chest. She feels better for it.
You do read about this happening once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Which does make me think then people shouldn't be entering these sporting events. If they don't fancy doing the ultra.
Well, she's obviously very good. I mean, just a moment of
weakness. Well, she's good. She's got in a, you know, Vauxhall Cavalier halfway round.
That's a nice. You clutch that one from nowhere. The last time you saw a Cavalier. So, yes, do tell us this afternoon if you would like to admit to cheating. If you've cheated, and it's kind of, maybe it's eaten away at you. Could have been at school. Could have been in anything.
It's an amnesty, Paul.
It is an amnesty. We're not going to. Well, I say we're not going to judge you. We are going to judge you. we'll judge you, and so are the TalkSport listeners. But just admit it today, because honestly, it'll be a weight off. Be a weight off your mind.
Apply for freedom and we'll decide. We will be judge and jury.
We'll tell you not to beat yourself up or to continue to do that, or maybe to go and make a personal apology if there's still time. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. If you want to admit in person, you'll feel better for it.
Mm.
Maybe we can disguise your voice. Yeah, whereas we sound a lot deeper. 03717223344. I've always thought American football looks easy, says Ben the Detailer. All you have to be good at is running fast, occasionally catching, and then quite elaborate celebrations.
I agree with you, Ben. It does look easy because you can get lost in it as well. Easy. It's just a lot of running around a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just come on, you get lost in the game.
I mean, you have to learn the playbooks and stuff.
But if
you can't be bothered, just when they do one of those plays, just hurtle off in one direction.
Just run off one way.
And, you know, the quarterback may find you or he may not.
It looks quite easy to be involved. If you're not the quarterback or the kicker, there's no pressure.
Well, Ben.
Wide receiver, all the other ones.
If you're that good at it or you feel it's that easy, it's very well paid. But it's probably more in that than detailing, I would imagine, whatever detailing is. A friend of mine contemplated bowls as the Falkland Islands needed some players, and he was eligible, says nice. Harry. So he never did it, Harry.
That's, for bowls?
That's a shame, yeah. Falklands for bowls, that would have been good.
That is good, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's quite rocky and hilly there, isn't it? Imagine it's quite difficult to find a flat surface to play on.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Kind of rolls into the Atlantic. Yeah. So have you got any more? I've got rid of the wrong one there, Charlie, haven't I?
That's
I
did, all right.
My mum was born in a British army camp in Saudi Arabia. Okay. The Saudis want to offer me a nice contract. I will consider it, says
nice,
Nelly in Belfast.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I'm 68. I've had two hip replacements after wearing them out of football. However, I think I could be in for a medal chance. My wife keeps telling me I'm for the high jump.
Oh, lovely. There we are. Yeah, lovely from the playbook. Very nice.
Paul, Andy, or Paul Charlie
it's
in this
fine.
Case.
It's fine.
What's the point of the ball having a chip? It's not the ball that will be offside, it's the players. Well, we'll ask the experts a little bit later on.
Well, there's a nice bit of cheating. I copied three The Jam tracks from the album This Is a Modern World to get some poems for my English exam.
Oh,
an
no.
A+. Lovely. What a good idea.
Okay.
Down in the tube station at midnight.
Yes. It was English Rose on that. I'm trying to think. That might have made a nice poem.
I forgive you, Kevin. It's lovely. What is poetry?
Yeah, that's right. So you just copied them. It's a good job the teacher, Mrs. Weller, the teacher was. That's where it all backfired.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Mrs. Foxton.
There we are.
Stephen
Mansfield, of all places, says, referencing Charlie's DNA, can he play dueling banjos from Deliverance?
Very harsh.
And that's someone from Mansfield saying that. Have you ever been to Mansfield? Unbelievable.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Hi, it's the Indian cricket board here. We admit to completely managing the tournament so that we win it. Is that cheating? Oh, that's no need
no
for
way,
that.
No way.
We all doctor our own pitches to an extent, and we all play on the pitches we want to play.
It'll be interesting Sunday, isn't it? When you turn up, it's sandpit.
Well, it's Australia versus South Africa, and been a tough old morning for South Africa. Rain affected. The Aussies are out there in reply. We'll be checking in with John Norman throughout the afternoon. Ali Ross is going to join us first off, though. Flag of Convenience players. I mean, is that fair to call them that? Mm. How do the Tartan Army feel about it? He's a regular. He'll be joining us shortly ahead of tonight's game with Georgia, which is live on Talk Sport 2. It's the early kickoff, isn't it? It's about 5 o'clock kickoff, I think. So, yeah, that one with Alex Crook and Chris Awelamo.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Actor, Manchester United fan, Will Mellor. Good afternoon, Will.
Hey, Will.
Good afternoon, lads.
Speaking of fraud, how do you think Erik ten Hag's getting on in this season?
Well, do you know what? If you think about stats-wise, he's got the biggest win percentage out of any manager in Man United's history.
Mm. Okay.
So if you look at it that way, and also the fact that we are the most informed team in the league at the moment, I found it hard to believe myself. it's weird being a United fan at the moment because I honestly have watched us play. And we've been very unlucky at times with decisions going against us. I'm not blaming referees and VAR and all that sort of stuff, but I think we've played better than some of our results say, especially against Copenhagen, the second leg. I tweeted after 30 minutes, this is the best I've seen United all season, 2-0 up, coasting. I tweeted it, and then Rashford got sent off 3 minutes later, and the wheels fell off. And I thought, what have I done? I set myself up for a right fall, but... Do you know the problem I think we've got is when you start the season, with a new keeper and your back four falls apart, we've been the injuries, and I think your back line is your stable point. And when that's not right, the confidence lacks through the team and you can see it. But I'm an optimist. I'm a Man United fan through and through. And I think the best is yet to come. I think the fact that we're in this run at the moment is good. It shows you, Tottenham lost 2 on the bounce. Mm. City conceded 4 against Chelsea, an amazing game. And the headlines were United only just scrape a win against Luton. And I was like, that's the thing with being Man United. You're a massive club and you dominate the front and back pages and people talk about it. But I do like Ten Hag. I think he wants to play the right way. And I think we will get there in the end. Yeah. I just think calm down a bit and get the injuries back. Mm. And we've got to get our first 11 on the pitch every week because I sometimes think we're mix and matching a lot, and Anthony drives me insane. I don't know what's going on with him.
Before we let you go, the Karamak was in the news last week because they're going to stop making them. And in your when you were 14, I understand, Will, you made an advert for the good people at Karamak where you played an irate football fan. I think we can bring you a bit of it now. Here it is.
Come on, man. Flick it in. Go on. No. Useless, absolutely useless. can you miss from the 6-yard box? Tell me that.
Your mum could do better than that.
You great wet lettuce, what are you doing?
I don't know why they bother having commentators.
Get in him! Useless!
There we are. Is that, it's just like you watching a United game now, that, is it?
Like the sports bar.
That's like me in front of the telly every Saturday and Sunday and Wednesday. But yeah, 14 years.
I bet you don't say I bet you don't say Anthony, your big wet lettuce, do you, when you're watching it?
That was the only bit of script I had. I had to ad-lib the rest, and the rest was just useless because I'd seen my dad say it to the telly a lot. I was just going from experience, but yeah, it was a great period. I remember feeling really sick because they made me eat about 14 of them in the advert, and I felt really sick. If you eat one, they're sickly.
Oh, I'm a fan, I got to be honest. Anyway, well, lovely to talk to you as always.
Thanks,
catch up with you soon. Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So that's the ball.
There is the ball, the Euro 24 ball in my hands.
We've just lost the head.
They've gone. That's nice.
Well, should we just talk about it? Because Hannah's has gone, the man who was going to tell us more about it. Should I tell you a bit about it?
Yeah, go on. I'm looking at it. It's got dimples all over the place.
Because I'm sure Hannes would have given us the old the spiel.
It's got all the cities that they're going to be playing in it, on it, all over it. Yeah. And dimples and lines, I'm sure, will make it fly through the air quicker, as they always say.
The ball is called Fußball Liebe, Love of Football, it's called. It's been released. It's going to have a chip in it. I mean, probably the one you buy from Sports Direct won't, but because we're going to have the semi-automated... VAR, which we're hopefully going to see next year in the Premier League on offsides. Yeah, it's got the connected ball technology, providing unprecedented insight into every element of the movement of the ball and contributing UEFA's video assistant refereeing decision-making process.
Oh, nice, a chip, yeah.
Let me tell you a bit about the outer shell of the ball, Charlie.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't need
you
to.
You mean we've got him back, have we?
We've got Hannes back.
Lovely.
Hannes Schäfke joins us from Adidas. Hi, Hannes.
Hi, Hannes.
Hi there.
We've just been telling everybody this will have a chip in it, won't it, for the semi-automated offsides.
That's right.
It's good news.
That's good news.
So the Love of Football, Fußball Liebe, it's called this ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who comes up with the names of the balls? Whose job is that?
It's not my job.
Oh, okay.
some creative minds over here in Herzogenaurach, for sure.
Sure. Right. There we are. Great stuff. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
much.
There we are.
A man of few words.
Here we are.
Hannes Schäfke the latest
there's
on
the ball. It'll fly through the air. Do they use the same chip as they put on Notts County's fans' shoulders?
I think I was trying to catch him out. I mean, I wasn't trying to catch him out. It wasn't the yes-no game.
I don't know, mate. Who designs it? I don't know. Not my job.
That's Pete down the road. That's his job.
Nothing to do with me, pal.
Yeah.
What asked him about the ball for?
Yeah. He was from Adidas, wasn't he?
Was he just a caller?
We may have just called somebody, some fella in Germany, and he. Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for joining us.
I thought that went quite well.
Lovely.
Coming up the next hour, Rick Witter from Shed 7 joins us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Shed 7.
Sounds good.
The new single. And it's called An Ecstasy. It's out now. New album, Matter of Time, is out early in the new year, 5th of January. We've had an EP out, I think, recently as well. And joining us now, frontman for the band, Rick Witter. Good afternoon,
Hello,
Rick.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Yeah. First, I think last time we saw you, popped and saw us, it was the last album. It's about 6 years ago.
Yeah, 2017 that came out, which seems like about 2 years ago. It's weird. Time just seems to vanish these days.
What have been the gaps between albums then over the years? Because you kind of, did you break up as a band for a while? Or
we
always
did. Yeah. We kind of called it a day for about 4 years and then decided we missed playing live together. So we kind of rebanded and it's taken off ever since then, really, weirdly. I think we're kind of bigger now than we ever have been, and we were quite big in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in the 90s, albums were every other year, And then there was a gap of about 16 years. And then we came back with the Instant Pleasures album in 2017. So 6 years between these two albums is nothing really compared to 16 years.
I was listening to some stuff coming in. I was playing the EP you put out, playing some of the tracks and stuff. Yeah. But then I put Getting Better back on because I hadn't listened to it for a while. It still sounds very good. It's a sort of great production. It's really strong.
I think we had a run of really good singles way back in the 90s. We're definitely a singles band, so to speak. But we're kind of hoping to branch out now and become more of an albums, classic albums band, which I think our new album kind of sits in that category, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Even though nobody's heard it yet. It sounds great to me.
There's a lot of bands these days that they're playing their albums in full, aren't they? In order and in full. Is that the sort of thing you can see yourself
We've
doing?
We've never done that before. We're doing 3 outstore shows, they call them, at the end of January, just after the album's come out, where we're going to play the new album in full. But we've never ever done that before, so it'll be a new thing for us. Yeah. But we'll have to come back out after playing the new album and play a few old hits, because we'd get lynched if we didn't play certain songs that we've got from the 90s.
When you're writing a new album, are you always thinking about how's this going to play live? How are we going to sing this live? How are we going to do it?
No, not massively. We just sit down and write songs. We don't really think about what's coming next, so we usually work that out afterwards. But to be honest, we're a rock and roll band, so, you know, if we can play it on an acoustic guitar next to a campfire in a field somewhere and it works, we know we're onto a winner.
Yeah,
so, adding extra bits is just a walk in the park, really.
It's probably a question you get asked all the time, but I'll ask it on behalf of the listeners. Where does the name come from? Who came up with the name?
Well, you know what? It got to about 1999 and we decided we'd never answer that question again because we were asked it so many times in the 90s, so many times. It's a really boring reason, but basically we were looking for a band name. Me and Tom, the bass player, were going from York to Manchester to go to Affleck's Palace, be where the Stone Roses come from and all this. Mm. And as we were passing through Leeds train station, there was 10 massive sheds lined up with doors, train sheds, and each one had a door, shed 1, shed 2, but shed 7 didn't have a door on it, so I said, that must be shed 7, and it kind of just stuck. It's not the most regal of band names, is it? The word shed in the title, but it could have been Shovel 7, couldn't it?
But it's impossible to name a band, and my son's starting a band at the moment, and of course everyone's always chipping in, they haven't got a name yet, everyone's always chipping in with ideas for a name, because everyone wants to come up with the name.
The problem is
everything sounds terrible.
Whatever you say sounds awful. It does, and then also, once people have got used to it, they don't really think about it. You just say it, don't you? You too. Simple minds. Yeah. They're just band names, aren't they?
I used to play with a bunch of mates, and we used a hall to rehearse in.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't have... A guy said, well, if you want to use the hall, you have to write down a band name. I said, well, can't we just put... No, it has to be a band name. So I just looked over at an electric fire, said, well, we're the Morphy Richards Band.
Oh, nice.
Let's hope we never make it big, which of course we did, because we'd have to give them a cut, obviously.
Or we'd have to change it.
Well, we were nearly going to be called Armitage Shanks at one point.
They've got a few guest stars on the album, is that right?
Yes, we have. So we've got Rowetta from the Happy Mondays. That particular song, when I was writing the melody, immediately I just thought of Rowetta. I don't know why, and it just sounded like something she would have done maybe with the Mondays. So we reached out to her and said, Rowetta, we've written this thing, are you interested in hearing it and maybe jumping on and seeing what you can do? And she was well into it, and she really makes that track what it is, so that was great. We've got Peter Doherty, who's guested on one of them. We were doing a festival, Bingley Festival, I think, and the Libertines were playing just after us. And I noticed that Peter was watching us from the side of the stage and singing every word, which made me think, okay, so you're aware of Shed 7. So I had a quick chat with him afterwards. He was telling us that he was a big fan way back in the day. So I went, Peter, we've got guests on our album. Do you want to join in? And he said, I'd love to. And that song is amazing. It's probably one of the best songs we've ever written, to be honest. So I'm excited for people to hear that one.
Fantastic.
Excellent. You are a Manchester United fan, and in reading for you coming in, I got up to speed and I found a bit you did for the club website. And in it, we had a great revelation. Charlie's from Newton Abbot, is a Torquay United fan.
Right, yes.
And you lived in Torquay, didn't you?
I did, from the ages of about 6 till 9. Yeah. My memories of that are, I think at the time, you remember the Fall Guy, Colt Seavers?
Yeah, yes.
So I wanted to be a stuntman. I wanted to be a known stuntman. but it's where I had my most accidents. So I fell out of a tree, ripped my ear off.
Okay.
I broke my arm. I got my head stuck in the turnstiles on the pier. Lots of different things happened to me. So I remember Torquay as an accident-prone place.
You mentioned Macari's, which is a beautiful old ice cream place
Yeah.
Down the front. franchise isn't there anymore. But you say your dad used to pretend it was owned by Lou McCarthy.
Yes, he did, just to wind us up. Yeah, and I believed him for quite a long time as well. Yeah, but yeah, great times. Yeah, I was only there for a short period of time. But my brother, who's slightly older than me, remembers it better, and he still loves Torquay. Oh, yeah. So if Torquay used to come to York to play, which is where we live, he'd always go and stand in the way and
rub it in. Go on, rub it.
That's right, because you do say in this piece there wasn't really anywhere to go and watch football, which Charlie was slightly smarting as a Torquay United.
Unbelievable.
Fair. But you are a Manchester United fan. But did you ever you went up and lived in York? So did you ever go and watch York City now and again?
Yeah, I do. I've not been to the new stadium yet. I've been a bit too busy, but I always follow how they're doing. Yeah, they've got a new owner, something. So we're hoping that they're going to feed a bit more money in and get York to more where they should be in the league, you know, in the leagues. I need to get down there more. I need to see John Lewis playing. Shop, as they call it.
Yes, Shop. Shop.
Yeah, the great Lionel John Lewis. Shop. His name is a Shop. Yeah, his name is a Shop, fantastic.
Yeah, but they need to be back in the Football League proper, York. The city's too good to not have a proper football team.
Yeah. So what sort of era was your favourite era of Manchester United? Can you remember them?
Well, to be fair, growing up, my memory is awful. I mean, I've just always remembered just being a fan. I mean, obviously nowadays it's not so great to admit it, but I think where it went wrong is we got rid of Jaap Stam. I think if we hadn't done that, we'd be rocking still, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Still rocking through.
But I just never got there as much as I could have done. Obviously, I moved away from Manchester when I was about 5, so that made it very difficult in itself. So, you know, I have memories of going there and walking up those steps and then seeing the ground, the Theatre of Dreams. It takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But need to do it more often, really, to be honest with you.
So the new album, you're going to be taking out on tour? There are going to be some we're going to have a tour, we're going to have some festival dates? What's happening?
Yes, next year is our 30th anniversary since debut album. So it's a great feeling to know that we're going to release our brand new album the very first week of our 30th year. Yeah. So to have brand new material coming out right at the beginning of the year is amazing. And then, we've got two big hometown shows that we've booked for next July, Museum Gardens in York, which sold out really quick, which is great.
Yeah, great.
Apart from I walk around York now and everyone says, the ticket sold too quick, can you get me in? It's like, well, I've got a big family.
Yeah.
And then we're going to announce a huge tour at the end of next year.
Fantastic.
So we're going to be very busy boys.
Excellent. I played some of the EP. I liked FKH especially. You've got, so the people can go and listen to the EP now and the album will be available.
So it's all changed from the 90s, so to speak. So basically we've released 4 separate songs off the album so far, which in the past would have been singles and we would have been pushing the singles.
But
I think now these songs are nuggets to help push the album as a whole. And I think it's important to listen to an album as a whole because it tells the story.
Yeah.
So these songs that we've already released,
the
little nuggets really. But I think, as I say, once people can hear the album from start to finish, the songs that people have already heard will make a lot more sense. It's a journey, basically.
The problem is, Rick, is that there was a time when that was that, you know, you'd really carefully think about the album, the listing, the track listing, because you want it to tell a story.
Yeah.
But now people just stick stuff on shuffle, don't they?
Well, this is it. And this is why we're kind of anti that and why we spend a lot of time working out a track list, making sure it flows. You know, we're releasing it on vinyl, and I think it's important that when you stand up to flip over the vinyl for side B, the end track on side A has to be really strong for you want to get over and flip it. And then the first track on side B has to be equally as strong. Yeah. You know, it tells, you know, it needs to flow.
Yeah. It's a bit like writing a sitcom series. You know, you'd have to, a couple of the weaker tracks would sort of get buried in the middle, wouldn't they? Big start.
Episode 4, just a bit. Drop it just in that.
The one where the plot doesn't quite hang together.
But Adele stopped, didn't she? Adele has stopped. Our Spotify to stop it being shuffled. So
really?
Be, can't be shuffled.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
So maybe
she's got some clout. Yeah, maybe she can stop it happening, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, she's huge and she's sold so many that she can get away with what she wants. Yeah. Whereas we'd probably be taken off.
Well, Rick, if you come down from York to see us there, which is very kind of you.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me on, guys.
And we wish you well with the album. We're going to go out with an oldie, though. Is that all right? We're going to go out with Chasing Rainbows, which was at 96.
1996, and that was the year that we had 5 top 40 singles in the UK charts. Fantastic. And no other act had that year.
Wow. It's a great song. Fantastic. We'll play it with that. Rick Winter there from Shed 7. Lovely to see you.
Thank you, guys.
This is Chasing Rainbows.
I hide them everywhere.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Broadcaster Roman Kemp. Hey, Roman.
Hello, Roman.
Hello, mate. You got me.
Yeah, no, we got you.
How are we? We're all right.
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad. So we'll talk a bit of football in a minute, but on a more serious note, tell us a bit more about your documentary, which is on the BBC iPlayer at the moment.
Yeah, so it's a follow up documentary to one that I made just after lockdown. So in August 2020, I lost my best friend, someone who was my producer and was like my brother. His name was Joe. I lost him to suicide. He decided to take his own life, and like so many people, struggling through the grief of suicide and understanding it is so strange. And so I made this first initial documentary about it. And then I guess 2 years of my life kind of went on, and all of a sudden I kind of became this guy who I was no longer just Martin Kemp's son. I turned into this almost like suicide boy type character where I if I go to the pub, people don't come up to me asking me about, you know, how's your dad, or even like, you know, can we have a picture? It's they want to talk to me about the fact that they, you know, maybe made attempts on their own life a year ago or anything like that, or that they're having these types of thoughts. And it just kind of said to me, I need to really find out who is out there to help these people, and specifically who is out there to help the next generation to be able to deal with these thoughts, to try and drive these numbers down, you know, especially within guys, it's so horrendous. You know, we don't really talk as much, and suicide is, unfortunately, such a high number of deaths within the UK, and it's the biggest killer under 40 for men. So when I made this documentary, I really wanted to find some positives, and unfortunately the state of the country that we're living in, there is no help out there, and it's something that we had to highlight, and it's a tough watch, and it's a watch that I specifically asked for parents to watch it, anyone that has kids, because I want them to shout about it, and I want them to be able to say, you know, something needs to be done here. And, you know, there are things called mental health support teams that can go into schools, and the coverage of those mental health support teams so far and what they've been able to do is incredible. But the government have only ever agreed to install them into around up to 36% of schools in the UK. And then I wrote a letter to the government, you know, highlighting, you know, these are fantastic things that are making such an impact, and they're bringing these numbers down of kids that are in trouble in the UK. And then they went, oh yeah, no, that's brilliant. Okay, we'll do it in 50%. And you know, and you're just like, okay, you know, the next question to them is, there's two kids in front of you. How do you decide which one gets the help? So the drive for me is all about making sure that these teams are in 100% of schools in the UK, because unfortunately, you know, now in this documentary, I go to families where, you know, kids as young as the age of 9 have taken their own life, and no child in Britain should feel like they have nowhere to go when it comes to their mental health.
Absolutely not. Mm. So it's available to watch. I know it's still being shown on BBC Three, but it's available to watch.
Yeah,
on the iPlayer as well.
Yeah, it's on iPlayer right now. And like I say, listen, I'm not expecting someone to go, oh great, oh, you know, I'll sit down and watch that tonight. It's a heavy watch, and it's one that hits home with a lot of people. But that's why, you know, there's been certain things at the minute, and I think it's kind of all accumulating to the right direction. I think, you know, I saw Norwich Football Club the other week. I don't know if you saw that. They posted probably one of the best promos I've ever seen, and the reality of suicide. And so I think, you know, everyone I think that's listening to this now is of a sound mind to know, okay, this is something that needs to get kind of solved now. We need to look about how we're going to stop this in the future. I'd give it a watch.
Wow. Okay. Well, good. So, yeah, absolutely. So you're right. It's an important topic. So we'll talk a bit of football, and how are you feeling about life as an Arsenal fan at the moment?
Do you know what? I almost feel so spoilt from last season, and there was a little bit of an air of that. Like, you know, I go to the games every week, and when we first got into the stadium this year, there was this like weird sensation of like, oh, we're expecting to win. You know, before it was like, oh God, are we going to lose? Are we going to lose? It was always doom and gloom. But this season, it's been a little bit different, and the pressure has been on the team a lot more. And I think, look, all you have to do is, you know, it's so ridiculous that I look at the table and I go, oh man, like we're not quite there. And then I realised, you know, we've only lost one game.
Yeah.
Like that is absolutely ridiculous. So I think a couple of Arsenal fans, myself included, just need to check ourselves and just go, you know, this season we might not be, you know, smashing it top of the table all the time. Although it's lovely to be above Tottenham now. Back where we belong.
Short-lived.
But yeah, it's been... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, I can't wait for the four-month DVD, the month-long DVD A Month at the Top.
Yeah. We've heard it all on here. Paul's had it all in his neck.
Sorry, Paul.
It's all right. I'll get used to it.
There we are. And so, a second season of The Finish Line coming up, which last time we spoke to you was for The Finish Line, which I watched. I thought it was a great daytime quiz, really. And I thought you fitted the part
perfectly. We were advising you to get all these backstage war stories from Sarah Green, your co-host, on Kids TV, the rock and roll Kids TV. What did you get? Anything interesting?
Oh, mate. Well, to be honest, like she was just a wonder to work with. But do you know what? What I've loved about it, if no one knows what I'm talking about, right? So I got this show I got a quiz show on BBC One, and it's called The Finish Line. And the best thing is I had so many people coming up to me, and it's like, oh, is that the one that looks like everyone's on a Stana stairlift?
Yeah, it's nice. It moves, doesn't it? Rather, they don't have to walk, it moves. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. They move quite slowly, but it's really good fun. But you know what? I'll tell you, guys, trying to do a quiz show and try and make it any form of successful, when you're going up against Bradley Walsh and, you know, your pointlesses, it's tough. So I'm super pleased. You know, they wanted us back for a second season. And I'm just hoping that they do. I think we've got a celebrity special, and I do want to get Jamie O'Hara on there and just see how badly he does.
Well, if he's listening, which he often does, I'm sure he'll be up for it.
It's not a stairlift, it's the flat escalator at the airport. That's what it is.
That's it. Yeah, but albeit a bit slower than that one as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned your dad and him and your uncle Gary are back. That Rhys Thomas has done a new Kemp's mockumentary, isn't he?
Yeah, man. Do you know what? I loved it. For those people that haven't seen it, I think, funnily enough, I think that's an iPlayer as well. You can fill your boots with Kemp's at the minute on iPlayer. But no, I think he's back. You know, he's loved it. Like he loves doing it, and they are so funny. And in fact, this time, I'll tell you a little secret. They said to me and my sister, they were like, "Oh, do you guys want to be in it?" And we turned it down. We actually said, we said we don't want to be in it because we're more intrigued to see who you cast as your kids in the show. And I've seen the video and all I can say is absolutely hilarious. Like, wait till you see the reveal of it. Because for those people that don't know, it's a mockumentary of Spandau Ballet. And like, put it this way, it's so ridiculous to the point where my dad's not just married to Shirley, he's married to Pepsi and Shirley.
Oh, lovely. Lovely stuff. But it's called All Gold, isn't it? Because the first one was called All True and this one's called All Gold, which is very nice.
It's a good cast, isn't it? I read a piece today and they've got Michael Kitchen's back as the manager. And
Tamsin Althwaite's in it. And she, I'll tell you what, she is a fantastic actress. And she's brilliant.
Yeah, she's
absolutely brilliant at comedy as well.
EastEnders with her, Charlie.
I didn't really send it with her. No, she wasn't in it. Oh,
okay.
She wasn't in.
Well, my dad and her were together episodes. In the show.
Oh, right. Of course
they were. Yeah, it was Mel and Steve.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, it's good. And look, my dad loves it. So it's one of them where I think he was on recently, this on a couple of weeks ago, I think, on TalkSport. But you know, he's so busy at the minute. So
Once again, Roman, we've had you on and we've ended up talking about your dad. That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Welcome to my life, chaps. Welcome to my life.
Only in passing. And before you go, we're going to get you to weigh in on the great Aaron Ramsdale, David Ryan debate.
Yeah, nice.
Aaron's dad was chatting to one of the podcasts this week and railing against what's gone on, not happy at the treatment of his boy. You know, that's what dads do, of course. But where do you sit on this?
Well, here's my thing, right? I think yes, there is a lot to be said about the fact that the goalkeeping coach at Arsenal, you know, Iñaki, he did come from Brentford and he does love David Raya and of course he does. But I also think if you're going to be a top side, you need competition in places. And sometimes that might fall on a striker. Sometimes that might fall on a midfielder, defender. And this time around, it's gone on our goalkeepers. And if you look back at it, look, Aaron is a phenomenal, phenomenal goalkeeper. But if push came to shove and you say, OK, quickly choose for this match who you're going to choose, I would choose David Raya, you know. And in terms of how you know, Mikel is running the team at a minute, I can't say he's doing a bad job. So you know what I mean? Whatever he is doing, if he's blanking Aaron on purpose to try and get him to fight harder, then that's fantastic. But, you know, if he does need to speak to him, he needs to speak to him. But, look, I mean, for Aaron's dad, I think, you know, you're well within your rights. You know, as you say, it's your boy. And you know, I can see it. Look, I can, when I go down to the games, I can see, all I can see is that Aaron is like a full professional. You know, he's there on the day of the matches. He is there working David, you know, as the second goalkeeper. Yeah. He's pushing him just as hard. He's not sulking. He's not doing this, what we've seen with other players. You know, can you imagine this happening at like a club like PSG? Do you know what I mean? I can guarantee you the player wouldn't be turning up for training. Aaron's there and he wants to be back in. And I think he kind of, everyone needs to get off his back a little bit, I think, in the sense of, like, you know, if he wants to sulk a bit, I think he's well within his rights.
Yeah. Well, Roman, good to talk to you.
Thanks,
catch
Roman.
Up with you soon. All the best.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, yeah, quite a few of you want to admit to cheating, get it off your chest.
A bit of that gone on, isn't
it? Hopefully feel a bit better. Desin Woking says, shamefully, I put my feet down 3 times whilst doing my 10-metre swimming badge at middle school. Too embarrassed to accept the award in assembly and have avoided pools ever since, just in case somebody points it out and calls me a fraud.
Wow.
I'm now 50, says Des. I think it's obviously eating away at him.
I don't think anyone's going to point at you and say it seems that guy's putting his feet. They don't mind anymore. Unless you're a lifeguard or something for a living.
Yeah. Be incredibly,
I don't know
if
that's what you're doing. Confession. This is a confession from Kev in Faversham. I was at the first round of the district football trials. It was getting towards the end of the trial and I hadn't yet been selected to go through to the next round.
Oh.
I went over to speak to my best mate who'd been selected and they took down my name as I was standing with all the selected players. Right place, right time. He just stood in the right place.
Nice.
Made it through the next 2 rounds on my own merits. He just wanted to tell us that.
Gave yourself a leg up. Nick from Folkestone said, playing golf once, I needed the 18th to win the match and the money. The guy was playing against, hit his ball in the semi-rough, so I went to help him. Found it. Trod it into the wet grass so he couldn't find it. Won the game.
Won't be the first. Not the last to do
dirty,
that. Absolutely.
That,
no way.
Really bad.
There we are.
We asked you also who you're eligible to play for, and sometimes your dreams can come true. My best mate was playing for Bristol City Academy. He was a quarter Antiguan. He managed to find the Antiguan under-17s manager on LinkedIn, messaged him, and ended up playing the under-17 World Cup qualifiers.
Oh, lovely stuff.
So there we are. Who are you eligible to play for? It's not about Anthony Gordon and Tina Livramento earlier on. possibly playing for Scotland. But even if you're no good at sport, just tell us who you could be eligible to play for.
Did we hear in the sports news there with Ben Fletcher, Paul, that Verstappen said he felt like a clown waiting to the start of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. It's going to be tough, isn't it? Them long shoes in that little car.
Well, that thing they used to do at Le Mans, where they run to the car. Running clown shoes to the car. And then driving them.
Going to get in, the wheels will fall off.
Yeah.
You know, they put in glitter instead of petrol.
Yeah.
It's an absolute nightmare for him.
Good. That would be good. I definitely would like to see that.
Good luck, Verstappen.
Great news for Dance. I don't know if maybe we could set this up. A drum battle with our own Ian Danter, Mark Gay, who's a drummer, he admitted today.
Oh, that's nice.
And the good thing about these longer conversations that England players have on England duty, you find out a bit about them. Mark Gay admitted that he said, I went to church from a young age, loads of singing, lots of dancing. My dad's a musician, so I get on the drum kit now and again. And so I said, what about drum battle?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Danter versus Gay, it'd be marvellous.
Very nice. Yeah. Peter Cech was, of course, a drummer as well.
Yeah,
He had a YouTube drum channel, Peter Cech.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, so my son at the time, Peter Cech was playing, he is still a drummer and was a goalkeeper. Peter Cech was his just absolute idea. He had a Peter Cech cake.
Really?
My wife made him a Peter Cech cake, which was his head. It was a 3D head.
What, with the helmet on?
With the helmet on. It made it quite easy to see who the cake was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like a black icing cap on his head.
Wow, I mean, that's like, not the sort of thing you could have 3D. Bought off the shelf at M&S, is it, really?
She had a good go at it.
It definitely... Did it look good?
I'll find a picture of it somewhere.
Hasn't he just gone to Belfast to play ice hockey?
He's transferred
teams. He's been picked up. He's obviously very good at it, isn't he?
Well, you'd expect so, wouldn't you? Yeah. Speaking of ice.
And Cole Palmer was chatting as well to the press.
Oh, yeah.
First, he said, the most annoying thing about living in London so far is the traffic. And I'm thinking, have you ever tried to get away from, get out of Manchester after a game?
Yeah, nightmare.
One of the worst tracks I've ever encountered, getting back to the motorway after leaving Old Trafford.
What's he driving? So he's driving into training, is he? They don't live in, they don't train.
They're out in Cobham, aren't they? I think obviously around the stadium and stuff, around the King's Road, it's sort of carnage. He says it's hotter than Manchester as well.
London.
Yeah, that London.
Giving it a bit of that, isn't it? Trying to find a picture of the cake.
Rather annoyingly, he looks like he takes a really stone cold brilliant penalty, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's great. Well, we need him. I think you'll find he does until next summer.
Oh, okay. Right, yes. Yeah, till the Euros. hopefully not, should I say. But he's never really practiced them. He's not a penalty taker, he said. It was a spur of the moment thing. Raheem Sterling just gave him the ball and said, take it. He said it was just an in-game thing. He said, and once I'd scored at Burnley, I thought, I'll take them. But he looks like someone who's taken them for years, doesn't he?
Well, he whacks them in. He puts them the same way most times, I think, if you look it up. And I thought that's what was going to happen Sunday. I thought it was going to be saved, but just whacked it high.
Very good pen.
Incredible.
And, his mum had been very supportive, as all mums are, of course.
Yeah, lovely.
And she said she would tell him now and again to stop playing football on the grass in the back garden for fear of him breaking something. And the players he would pretend to be when he played football as a kid. Wayne Rooney, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi. And then it says numerous other superstars.
Oh.
So, but Charlie, did when you were a kid,
Ian Rush?
Were you a talkie player?
No, Ian Rush. Oh, no, I was after a bit. Ian Rush, obviously, because I'm so tall.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, look very like Ian Rush.
Yeah, very similar. I can see that.
Grobbelaar.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I used to like, when I played in goal, I used to like being Grobbelaar.
Okay.
You've seen me in goal, Paul. I'm very good
at
goal.
So you had a bit of a thing for Liverpool as a young man, did you?
Only for about 2 minutes, yeah. Right. But for about a season, I was into Grobbelaar.
Oh, okay.
Then it became a bit more Jan Molby and
not the same.
Mark Loram. Mark Loram was always the one. The talkie player, Mark Loram, who is one of the best players you've ever seen in your life at any level.
And if you scored a goal in the garden or in the playground, you'd go Loram, and then you'd make that noise.
I tell you what, he used to shout. Josimar! He used to shout Josimar.
From that goal against Pat Jennings.
If you shouted Josimar, it nearly always went in.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant thing to shout.
That one certainly went in. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So there we are, Cole Palmer there. And there indeed, a little
and
bit
Josimar.
Of Mark Gay. Still to come, we're going to be...
The Moose, is it? We're going to talk to the
Moose.
Oh,
you're going to have a chat with the Moose. Lovely. So we're going to round up. I'll take it he's got some bits and pieces from the managers and the players. A lot of non-league opportunity this weekend with internationals for people to go along and watch their local
club. It's the FA Trophy, unfortunately.
Okay.
So a lot of clubs are going to miss out because people aren't that bothered about the trophy.
No?
Pointless. pointless competition.
It's a day at Wembley, isn't it?
Nah, it's pointless competition. No one's bothered about it.
You're out of it already, no?
No one's bothered about it. Absolutely pointless competition.
Are you out of it?
No, we're in it. We're in it on Saturday. The Oval, got it on Saturday. We've been to the final once, lost to Ebbsfleet 1-0. Worth one of the worst days of my life. I've only ever seen Torquay win one thing. But you see people trying to sell like a half and half Ebbsfleet Torquay scarf.
It's going to have limited appeal
on eBay. And you go, who's going to buy this? What
a game you lost?
A remembrance of the worst, one of the worst, most boring days of my life. I don't want that.
But maybe you'd look at it and then you'd feel good about things.
Match-worn shirt from Ebbsfleet. I don't want that. I don't want to be reminded of it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, boys.
Oh, Andy. I've not had the notification on my Instagram yet that you've gone live. Are you live on Instagram today?
No, Jeff's not doing it, so I decided not to bother, and he's quite upset with me.
He's in a pair of Speedos in a hotel room somewhere. It's a bit too revealing for Jeff, that, I believe. So Andy can't work the technology. He can barely work the microphone he's speaking out of, let alone do it on Instagram Live.
Too much.
Yes, sir. Jeff Peters not in the nerve centre today. He's got a board meeting overseas. I think he's at a trade fair.
Oh, that's nice.
So, good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon. Yeah, we're trying to sell the birthday spread to Mexico. So that's what we're at. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. See, if you can get the format away, that would be prime time telly. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So, score wise, Charlie won last week. Yeah. So, closes the gap in 2023 to 19-17. And can I just say, the Adidas football guy from earlier, was he the same guy who painted the Haaland?
I think he is. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we really...
Brilliant. Well, radio
he wrote Peter Shilton's autobiography.
Yeah, he really... It was a fulsome chat. Hopefully we'll bring you in the podcast. It was great fun. Just before we carry on, boys, good news, Andy. I like this. Steve Smith's out. John Norman.
Yeah, he is. Just when you thought the game was drifting to the conclusion that we've been expecting... Ever since South Africa were 24-4, Steve Smith's thrown it away. It's Kurtzer with the wicket, length delivery. Smith has tried to smash this out the ground. He can only get a toe end on the bat. I struggle to think of a ball that's gone further in the air. And Quinton de Kock has done very well indeed to run in and take this catch, even with gloves on. That went miles. So Smith goes... Possibly, South Africa are just back in this. 39 needed, bags of time, 99 deliveries. But they've lost their sixth wicket now. Smith's gone. They're 174-6.
Cheers, John. It's an amazing catch. He gets everybody out of the way, Quinton de Kock, and he's right under it. But then at the last minute, he realises the flight's off away, and he has to suddenly get his arms out and make a grab for it.
Lovely.
But he pouched it, so that's good news. So there we are. Suddenly it's got interesting. We'll keep an eye on that as we play the birthday spread. Are you pleased with the gags this week, Andy?
Yeah, not bad. Not
good.
Bad.
Okay. Well, let's crack on. Charlie will kick us off. Andy, take it away.
Okay. Birthday number one, my old friend, the tennis player, UK number 8, US Open winner 2021, Emma Raducanu.
Emma Raducanu.
Now, Emma has taken up pottery recently.
Oh, has she?
Been working on a model, of Cinderella's mode of transport for a celebrity version of the Great Pottery Throwdown. It's very exciting. The trouble is, every time she puts one in the kiln, it breaks. She's already fired 5 coaches.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. Very cleverly put together. Very clever if you know your pottery.
Good, yeah.
Charlie?
24.
Well, she 18 when she won it, and that's got to be 3 years. So it must be a biggie for her. It must be. She's 21. I'm going 21.
You're right.
She is, in fact, 21.
Yeah. I'm going a bit high.
Yeah, you did a bit. Yeah, she's a mere child.
Yeah.
So, what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Bad start.
It's Paul 0, Charlie 3.
Okay, 3-0 to me. So we alternate these. It's my guess now to go off first. Charlie went off first because he won last week. So here we go, Andy.
Bad start.
It's the fine Spanish golfer, John Rahm.
John Rahm.
And is the current Masters champion. He'll be choosing the menu for next year's champion's dinner. He's going for a delicious bowl of pork bone broth and udon noodles. The other players are really going to enjoy a John Rahman.
Oh, there we are.
Nice.
John Rahman, nice. Yeah, you know, your pottery and your noodle dishes.
Noodles.
Elitist, isn't it?
Very Chiswick so far.
Yeah, it's all very,
very
Chiswick.
So.
The only way is Chiswick.
Rahman.
I'd say John Rahm, he's probably, what is he, late 30s, mid 30, some, I don't know, he's probably younger than that. It's tough, that, isn't it? 36, I'll go.
No, I reckon you're about right.
Yeah, you think? He could be a bit younger.
35.
I was really surprised. He's 29.
Oh, you see what I mean?
Yeah, I just thought, it's the beard. It's aging, Paul.
Yeah, you forget.
I'm not talking to you.
He seems to have been around for a long time. See, well, you're probably right. So, what's that down in the scores, Jeff?
John Rahm, if you're listening, it's Paul 7, Charlie 9.
Seven
Thuffering Thuckatash.
Yeah, it is the line from Mexico is a bit Thuffering Thuckatash. Deepest depth. But it's good, we like it because of it. So back to Charlie for the first birthday. Come here we now. Go.
Okay, the actor Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
Anne Hathaway. And she once shared a flat with me and the moose, who kept helping himself to her low-fat cheese from her part of the fridge. I said, you've done it again. You've stolen Anne Hathaway's cottage.
Oh, okay.
That's very nice, wasn't it?
Honestly, they're clever today. Yeah. Oh, they are clever.
Not funny, but clever.
No, could have been a lot different.
Yeah,
that punchline.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly could.
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Is 37.
I think she might be a bit older. Not much. Oh. I could be wrong.
That's the game, isn't it?
No, not really. She's not 82, is she? It's not the game. 43.
41.
41.
Bang in the middle there. Yeah,
okay, not so bad.
You've got one more than me.
So, Jeff, where are we at with the scores?
Paul 9, Charlie 13.
Listeners, let us know how you're getting on. Mm-hmm. We'll run through a few of those at halftime. Talksport.com, text 8089, tweet TSH and J, but only four in it. Back to me to kick this one off. Birthday number four.
Okay, it's happy birthday to Derek Evans, the fitness instructor, Mr. Motivator.
Yeah.
Derek Evans.
Okay. Motivator.
And I've just bought his DVD, actually, on soil rotation and crop seeding. It's called Mr. Rotivator.
Yes. Slightly killed it there, but it's not going to happen. Do you want to have another go at it?
No, I don't really.
Okay.
That's a call, of course, for Derek Evans. You'll have to speak
to that's
him.
So, I'm trying to a Derek Evans question. I'd say Derek Evans, Mr. Motivator, still in great nick. He's got to be getting on, isn't he, with respect to Derek. 68.
I think he's older than that.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's one of those. I'm going to go 71.
Very good, Charlie. 71.
Bang! Wow, well done, Charlie. I think that's going to make us level. Is that right, Jeff?
No, you're three out, Paul, so you move on to 12. Oh. Charlie stays on 13.
Oh, OK. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Not much in it. Oh, my math's not great, clearly. So we're going to half-time with this one. Yes. Charlie leading us off. Andy.
It's the legendary musician Booker T. Jones.
Oh, wow.
And he's formed a new band, actually, with rugby league legend Mike Gregory and talk TV host Mike Graham. You'll never guess what they're called. Booker T and the Two Mics.
Oh, hey! Very good.
They're a tribute band. They perform the songs of Mike Parry.
Of all the people with the initials MG, you pick Mike Gregory randomly from the world of rugby league. That's great. It's brilliant.
Like a bit of sport. I've got to bring it back to sport.
It's good, yeah. Okay, so what do you reckon, Booker T?
Me, is it?
Yes, you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got to be getting got to be getting you. Yeah. When was Green Onions, you know? Is that,
God, bloody,
Sorry, here it comes. Any minute now. I'm going to say he is 90.
Yeah, he's got to be around that. 88.
I'm surprised. He's 79.
Oh, sorry, Booker, if you're listening. Two different stories. Booker.
Is that his real age? Oh, that's not his real age, is it? How old? When was Green Onions then?
Well, he must have been very young. Jeff, what are the scores?
At the halfway stage, it's Paul 1, Charlie 24. Nicely poised.
Paul 1, did you say?
21.
Oh, so, right.
Charlie,
okay.
24.
You broke nicely up a bit poised on that line. Delicately poised.
Green Onions was 1962.
Wow.
So how old was he in 1962?
He was 18.
I thought
Booker, he was like the senior partner and the MGs were like the kids who came in and played under him. He was the kind of manager.
I've got to look that up as well.
We won't dwell on it.
Seems very young.
No one really cares apart from the T family. that's what they're called. Anyway, tell us how you're getting on. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J, and the second half is moments away.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's It's birthday spread. Best ever, says Kirk in London.
Okay.
Eight so far. Bang, he says. Very proud of his record. Halfway through, 23. Best I've ever done so far, says Steve from Witcham, having a beer in the garden on holiday. Enjoy, Steve. Halfway score, 19, Stuart, Dundee United fan. Tom, the Manchester United fan, every week he listens. He says, I unlink the Bluetooth and refuse phone calls, and I'm 17
not bad at all.
And just a quick one, just watching the birthday spread online and noticed that Charlie's fuller beard that he's sporting does give him a very strong resemblance to the Cornish comedian Jethro.
Oh, well, I don't mind that. Yeah. I've had the Denzel pair of the Trendle stuff. You could be a
Jethro tribute act.
I could do. I mean, some people say that's what I do anyway. Tonight in Bristol, if you want to come.
Tonight in Bristol.
Tickets available. Bristol at the Hen and Chickens if you want to come down tonight.
Go and see Charlie.
Or tomorrow night in Wickham. Even more tickets available there. So why not?
Go and see Charlie in action. Maybe I'll do a bit of Jethro for you.
I've had the devil.
So what are the scores at half-time, Jeff? Remind us.
It's 21 to Paul, 24 to Charlie.
24. Okay, off we go then. Back to me. Sixth birthday. Here's Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
Okay, first birthday of the second half. She's the Vice President of the Bible Society and Priest Vicar of Westminster Abbey, Baroness Maeve Sherlock. Baroness Maeve Sherlock. And we were waiting for the cross-channel ferry at Calais when it was cancelled due to bad weather. I had to break the bad news to Maeve. No ship, Sherlock.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah, glad you had a good phone line.
Jeff couldn't have said that on that line. He's on, couldn't he? 74, I'm going for. 74.
77.
63.
Oh, we're making everybody older today.
Regals, dear. Yeah.
So, Jeff.
Paul, you have extended your advantage. You're on 32. Charlie on 38. Deep into depth. Six in it. Four to go.
Six in it.
Yeah. Fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Super. Okay. It's the actor Gerard Butler.
Yes.
And we were doing reincarnation regression therapy together.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yes, right. And it turned out that in a past life, I was a cannibal chief who'd taken his life. He didn't believe me when I told him, I ate you, Butler.
Gerard Butler. Now, is he the one in... I don't think he's the one I'm thinking of.
Who are you thinking of? I'm
thinking of the one in the 300. That's not Gerard Butler, is it?
I'm not telling you.
I know you're not telling me. Is that Gerard Butler? I don't think it is. I will say that Gerard Butler... Oh, I don't know who he is. This is it. Game's over. May as well stop playing now. Can I go and get my train to Bristol?
How old is he, Gerard Butler? Go on.
60.
He's the one in the 300, Charlie, Gerard Butler.
No.
He's probably
not far off.
You're not far off.
No.
52.
54.
See what I mean? It could have been a lot worse. Yeah. Gerard Butler. What's that done to the scores?
Sells safety boots as well now, doesn't he?
Does he? What's that done to the scores?
Paul, two out onto 34. Charlie, six out. Because he said 60, so Charlie's six out. Charlie is now on 44.
It's like working with Bonnie Langford.
The butler did it. Yeah. That's it for next year.
Okay, so 34-44.
Not going very well, is
okay,
it?
Okay, Andy.
I'll play your time to go. It's the Canadian musician Peaches.
No idea.
And who can forget her legendary collaboration with Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, and Ginger Baker? Yes, Peaches and Cream.
Ah, yes.
Now, obviously, it
remember that was last. That was that last year, Jeff. Have you got the old reverse?
He hasn't got it there.
No, that's a
Mexico.
New one.
That's not me. That's not me.
I'd say. This smoke alarm's going off. I'd say Peaches. You know she is.
It's none of your business.
Okay, sorry.
Locked in a battle, Paul. You are currently 10 ahead.
I don't know. 32. You're not going to be 80.
I've no idea who she is. I don't know who she is.
32.
I've got to find 10 from somewhere.
Go on, then.
42.
Not bad. She's 57.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Old Peaches.
Relatively
speaking.
Well preserved.
If Peaches is listening this
tinned
afternoon.
Peaches in syrup.
Yeah, what's that done to the scores, Jeff? There's a game on there, isn't there?
This is like Peach Gobbler.
Yeah. No more, Charlie. Where are we at?
With two to go, it's 59 all.
No, 59. Wow, what a game.
Two to go back to Charlie to lead us off.
Can
Here
he
we
do
go.
It? Can he do it?
Gloucester's in the West Country, says one of the listeners.
It's the North.
Off we go. keep going.
Okay, he was he is the president of the World Bank Group, AJ Banger. AJ Banger. And he entered a competition I was judging to develop a new mentholated suite that helps you breathe more easily.
Yeah.
I said to the other judges, this tune's a banger.
There we are. This tune's a banger. He's laughing his own material.
Come AJ on. Banger. Well, someone's got to.
He hangs around with Catherine Wheel, doesn't he?
I'm sure he does. AJ Banger. Okay, how old is he?
I've no idea. Was president of the
World Banking Society Group.
President, you're not president under 50, are you? Probably 60. I'm going to say 68.
That's a good guess. 67.
64.
Ooh, that's good. You want to
see. So, Jeff, we're going to the last one. With the scores at what?
It's 62, Paul, 63, Charlie.
Wow. So one in it, and one I have to go it. First.
Yes,
you've played a blinder
right into my hands.
62, me, 60.
Let's go.
Say sentimental songs, Jeff.
One either way.
Okay, here we go. Jeff.
Okay. Oh,
no, sorry, Andy. Sorry, yeah, sorry. I'm getting confused.
It's the university administrator and diplomat, Dame Nicola Brewer. Dame Nicola Brewer. And I was part of a small group of circus acrobats Nicola formed at uni. We were spectacular. I was so proud to be a member of Brewer's troupe.
Nice, there we are.
Nice.
Could have been worse.
What is she? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
She's, tell us what she does again, Andy.
She's the university administrator and diplomat.
Okay,
okay, yeah. My old job, as Bill Maher would say. Well, I've got to go first, haven't I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nicola. Could be anything, can it?
Nicola. He's just trying to work around the name.
Yeah.
60. I'm taking a chance. I'm going to go 69.
68.
66.
Oh, I've gone the wrong. I should have said 67.
Oh, no, for goodness sake.
I should have said 67. It's a draw.
What has happened to the scores, Jeff?
I've got a tiebreaker.
What has happened to the scores?
It's finished 65 all.
Oh, what an idiot.
65, 60.
What an idiot.
Do you have it as a draw and leave it there
what
forever?
An idiot.
Well, I've got a tiebreaker.
I've got a tiebreaker. We're going to have to be, it's got to be ever so quick, just very quickly for a tiebreaker. Here we go.
Conservative MP.
We have to write it down, Charlie.
What a fool.
Conservative MP for Chelsea and Fulham. Chairman of the Conservative Party, Minister of that portfolio, Greg Hands.
Greg Hands. Okay.
Solved a problem for me when I was asked by the late Max Bygrave to suggest an MP to lobby for showbiz rights. I said to him, you need hands.
Okay, yeah, I've written down a number.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. 68.
55.
58.
Oh, blew it. Absolutely blew it.
You could have won
absolutely
it in real time.
Stupid game.
It's smashing up the studio. It's gone
down. Bristol 8 o'clock start.
Hen and chickens. Go and see him. He'll be in a great mood. Thank you, Jeff. Enjoy your break.
See you next week, boys.
Thank you, Andy. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded.
Lovely stuff.
Today.
I always know too much about that ball.
I think we should make old Hannes Chef Cake from Adidas. That's a regular. Do it every. Yeah, Hannes's World. That would be good, wouldn't
podcast.
It? Yeah, the week podcast. In Chef K. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? We'll do that. Definitely do that. But for now, Charlie, you're back on Saturday.
Saturday morning. Well, no, we're 10 to 1. It's an international weekend.
10 to 1. Brilliant.
This
and
weekend.
Back with me next Tuesday.
Yeah, lovely.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.